Now wait a minute. Now wait a minute.
Try to keep myself cool, but
sometimes voting, something you do with your feet. Sometimes it's something you do with your voices.
Wow.
Sometimes you've got to march. Sometimes you've got to chant. Now, sometimes these work songs, these union ballads, they may seem a little silly.
A little silly.
But I assure you that if you learn a real proper union ballad, the value of your vote does go up. That's real.
Yes.
When you started talking about voting, doing anything with your feet, I thought this episode was going to go in a totally different direction. When you started talking about singing, I was like, whew, all right, good way to go.
Oh, you know, all across the country this weekend, I don't know exactly when this show will come out, so it might even be
a week in the past.
People have been out there voting with their signs, with their songs, with their chants. I'd love to see it, actually.
I voted yesterday with my feet.
Voting with your feet.
Voting with your feet, all right.
Voting with your feet means something else on certain parts of the internet.
what else is a march, really, if not a threat to vote?
Yeah, wow. You're going out there, you're saying, I'm gonna vote. You motherfuckers better watch out, I'm a voter.
The funny thing to me is, on top of voting with my feet, I actually voted last week in an election, and evidently the blue wave hit my deep red county, and the one thing really up went Democrat. I did all the voting.
We love it. We love a voter on this show. And you know, you can vote with your feet, but there's other parts of your vote body you can vote with. You vote with your hands often, right? When you fill out a ballot, but also when you...
That sounds easier.
Well, that's fair. That's your constitutional right. But on this show, you can vote with your ears. That's right. You can vote right now, today, right this minute. Line up for the most important election of our lives.
This election, which will be, I do truly believe, the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election. Don't you hear that?
This is the most important election in our lifetime.
I certainly think it's the most important election of my lifetime.
This is the most important election of our times.
Politicians say every time, oh, this is the most important election. This one's really that important.
Yeah, we did it. We're here. We're here with my buddy John Ross today. John, what's up?
How's it going? That was a very long intro. Very impressive.
I don't know. The intros, maybe they're a little bit baroque for some people's tastes, a little bit overly filigreed and ornate.
Stop!
But,
Stop! Use real words.
No.
Use real words.
Oh, I'm Kennedy Cooper, Kennedy. And I don't have to use any real words in this show. Brandon Buchanan is here. Brandon, you know
I
some
am here.
Real words.
You know. Sometimes a song just starts with an epic riff or solo that goes, 4 minutes long. You and I both know if a song just starts with the guitar solo, it's going to be a great song.
Yes.
We've also got, John, your comment.
I was just going to say, as a musician, part-time, amateur musician, it's just like, you know how these theme songs can go, how long these intros can go. I mean, they can go as long as you want, and you can always edit it down later, so to speak.
Yeah.
It would be very funny if this one was not edited at all, just to spite you.
Oh, Lord.
We've also got, you're hearing, of course, my buddy, Andrew.
Hello, Ben.
Andrew Fields. Hi.
Here's a fun stats fact. The only real number that actually exists is 13 and a half. All other numbers we made up. That's the only real number. You got your genuine stats fact of the day.
I can't disprove that. And then, of course, like I said, we've got John. John is good friend of mine, also the host of the John Ross Show, and a guy who has worked on many interesting projects in his life so far. So glad to have you along for the ride today, John. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to do this again. I mean, it was, what, a year ago? Almost a year ago, I did your other show with Andrew Hillary.
You were on Worst Week Yet. It was a pretty good, pretty fun episode.
That was a really fun episode, and I'm just wondering, when am I going to be able to podcast with Kennedy again? Because speaking of my like YouTube channel, I did interview Kennedy also around that same time. So
maybe the real podcast was the friends we met along the way.
Yeah. And it's like, I've been familiar with both Kennedy and Brandon's work in the past. I think I might have mentioned it before. I was a fan of Not Safe Media and Not Safe for Wongs and would consume that show literally. Like, and I've just, you know, I do these things where I just go back and watch some of the old stuff on like a binge type deal. And it's just like,
oh my God, really, that's so great. That's so great.
Well, you know, I do get a little nostalgic.
Anyone who had the faith in us back then is a real one. Not to say that we sucked or anything, but just...
No, not at all. I mean...
We're so much better at what we do now in a lot of ways.
Yeah, everyone... And thing is, like, everyone evolves when they do podcasts or they do streams. Like, I've been streaming for, you know, it will be 5 years in August, and I think that I've evolved since then. I mean, I've been doing this part-time since 2021. I'm not yet full-time, even though I continuously say I'm going to go full-time. And then I end up just being like, well, maybe next month. And then I just let it kind of happen when it happens. But I am trying with everything that's going on in the world. It's like I need to start getting really hunkering down and doing like the full-time, you know, at least on the YouTube side. You know, like I have all the equipment. I have all the microphone. I have like pretty much all the stuff that I have set up, and I should just do it. You know, not trying to sound like a fucking Nike slow. Oh, I don't know if we can swear on this podcast, but
you can swear not to as sound much like, you want on this. Not podcast.
Well. That's okay, well, not to sound like a fucking Nike slogan here, but the little light bulb in my head just going, just do it, damn it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I like just what you make. So I hope you just take. Take your ideas further. That'd be great. And now is as good a time as any to help with your microphone.
Yeah, and Kennedy, I just want to add, if you're making your own content, I consider that voting for yourself.
Yeah, every time you make something that you're passionate about, that's a vote. That's a vote for you from yourself. There's no better vote than the one you give yourself. So, John... We're doing something a little different than our usual format today because you are, I don't think that you would be offended by me saying this, you're a bit of a political junkie.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm political junkie, game junkie. Speaking of, I don't know if y'all saw it this week, you know, the Switch 2, speaking of Nintendo, came out and they're like, initially they're like delaying their pre-orders because of the whole tariff issue. And it's just like people are really pissed off and I can... understand. Well, let's just say I'm trying
civil
to
war over the Switch 2.
Yeah,
and gamers it's like rise up.
We need switch to a different government.
Right. I'm actually looking at all the facts before I make a judgment, make a comment, so to speak.
Wait, you're gathering information to become.
I'm gathering information. Yes, yes. What? I'm so gathering info because I'm like, okay,
I don't understand. Everything needs to be a gathering. I don't understand.
It's like, well, it's like, you know, as a Nintendo person since growing up, it's like I've like, you know, prepared myself for the successor model to the Switch and. Like knew right away that this was gonna be just another like it's not gonna be anything different than just the regular Switch that we have now. I mean, the only thing that we have, I mean, it's like it's got a couple good features on the new one. I admit, like they have like a thing called Game Chat, which is essentially like what we're doing right now in Discord.
Oh yeah, I almost laughed when I saw them announce that part because it really looked like it was freaking Discord on a Switch.
Yeah, it's just and it's Discord. Like it's you just, got these art. I mean, it's sort of unoriginal in a sense where they just stole the idea from Discord. It's just, it is actually, in my view, like once the hype for me dies down, I kind of do get an opinion. Not really kind of, I do get an opinion, and I'm like, man, this is so lazy. Like, I'm not going to dissuade people from buying this. Like, should the tariff issue, quote unquote, get resolved? I don't believe it will. But like looking at that direct, I was like, man, this is actually really good. And then again, once the hype dies down, I'm like, man, that's so lazy. That's so unoriginal. Come on.
Yeah, it's a little like Trump's second term.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like all the people that are opposing to Trump in the first term, and now all of a sudden they're sucking up to him in the second.
Like, not entirely sure who asked for this. The people that did ask for it, not entirely sure if they want it now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, exactly. It's a lot like the Switch. Everybody thought they wanted the Switch 2 until they saw it. And then they're like, oh, yeah, a Switch 2 is just a Switch with a few extra buttons.
I wonder if that's like anything else that we're talking about today.
That was just me going off on a fucking game rant, because that is part of my, like, that's what I do, trying to do for a living. And it's just like, as we do have some gamers in this group here, it's not gonna, you know, be a podcast for me without actually talking about some gaming topics. So it's like, yeah, it's just natural for me.
If we hadn't written this episode too far in advance, the Switch 2 actually would be a good, we'll save that.
Yeah. We can save it for the end. Yeah.
But I'm saying we'll save that for another episode. We got to do a Switch 2 episode. That would be,
I have to hold my tongue, cuz I keep wanting to make We Have to Switch 2. Continue, Kennedy.
We have to switch to our next topic, which is, John, you're a politics guy.
Yeah, I'm a big news and political junkie, since I was, 13 years old. So like when I was 13, I discovered that I wanted to be in broadcasting. And it's weird to think now that I wanted to work for all the major news companies, like knowing what I know now, how corporate they are. And then I got into music, which is again a whole other topic. Won't go into that. And then started getting into politics around really 2008, which is kind of also weird to look at now, like the Obama era. Being this like young guy in like high school, I was just like a sophomore in high school when Obama's first presidency occurred. And then, fast forward to 8 years later, the Bernie campaign, and was so inspired by his, break up the system, the billionaires are terrible, the corporations are bad, the media is lying to you, they're all fucked up, that kind of thing. And here we are in 2025, all these, again, it feels like a decade. I mean, for all of us, I mean, and the rise of the political podcast, news and commentary, where it's all DIY. We've all done, some form of podcasting or streaming on, primarily YouTube and Twitch. I know there's like a lot of other alternative platforms, but yeah, it's just amazing. And how, some people, I won't name names, or I will name names, depending how long this show goes. People who have pivoted for money, who were particularly on the right wing and on the left wing, and now are pivoting to the right wing for money.
You definitely can name names. It's just that we only have so much time for the show.
Oh, gotcha. For what it's worth, Cenk Uygur and Anakin Sperry can go fuck themselves. I mean, I don't really give a shit. I mean, I'll just say it right here, right now. Fuck TYT. I was a former mod for that company. Just to kind of refresh people's memories. I know Kennedy, I spoke about this on The Worst Week Yet with you a year ago, but I was a former moderator for the Young Turks Network on the YouTube with 12 other people, and we resigned 2 years. It'll be 2 years ago, over some of the stances taken at the network, particularly by the main show, particularly Anna, who is like all of a sudden hating on homeless people, hating on trans people. They lost, as a result, their two of their trans hosts. One was a host and the other was a moderator who's like also a fellow Twitch streamer who's a dear, dear friend of mine. Shout out to Vitingale. If you don't mind me doing that, I think they appreciate me doing a shout out because they're also a former mod and they also do Twitch streams. So, we did a letter and it's available out there. I mean, for what it's worth, I wish I could have found it because I have it saved on my computer box here and been like, yeah, for what it's worth, I hope y'all read the letter because it really makes a lot of good points. And it's still important, even though that this was 2 years ago, it's still relevant. Still fucking relevant.
If anything, it might be a little
I was I was a big fan of the Young Turks since the first time I heard Shank scream, USA Today, you suck balls.
A fan. I was a huge fan going back to 2007, 2008. So they were, in my honest opinion, they were the pinnacle of my, what you would call like far left progressive, you know, viewpoint. And yeah. I mean, to see the fact that, you know, they have strayed from their own belief system, you know, specifically with the money that was coming in. I mean, everybody kind of, you know, knew about the Katzenberg money and the Buddy Romer money, who was was taking money from an estate of a deceased, I think, Republican, or maybe not deceased, a Republican congressman. And it's just like, man, that shit is so cold. I mean, how can you fucking throw your own values and, you know, audience under the bus and pay yourself a good paycheck, but not pay the mods? You know, that kind of thing just really irks me even to this day. And it's, you know, good reminder why we left TYT. I say we as in the moderators. I have not honestly gotten also into TYT territory since we left. Like the only time I hear from them or hear something from them is in like Discord groups or other shows that I watch that are doing content talking about how bad TYT is, and it's like that's the only time I ever really see it. I ever really hear from them.
Is terrible now, but
yeah,
you know, sometimes it is the case though that even if the popularity of something waxes and wanes, the message can still have its effect. And TYT has gone downhill, but a lot of people were, you know, radicalized towards more progressive beliefs by watching those programs, and that's. A lot True. Of those people are still on the, you know, are still on the right side of a lot of issues now. And bringing it back around, Bernie Sanders has had a similar impact on our culture, where his personal popularity has waxed and waned at times to some extent. And now he's getting kind of old, and he still has a little bit of fire left in him. And his current core is doing great, but you know, his current stuff that he's been doing has been doing pretty great, but. You know, regardless of how popular he is in the moment, the messages that Bernie Sanders came out with in the 2016 election have kind of stuck with the American discussion. Like, you know, I feel like things that Bernie Sanders said or brought up, you still hear these terms being brought up. In almost every discussion on every news network every day, still you still hear, you know, these ideas being brought up of, you know, I don't know, I just feel like the working class issues and stuff. I like, did Fox News say the working class a lot before 2016? Because I feel like they say it a lot more now. You know, like even places like that have had to adapt their language a little bit to accommodate the changes brought about by the things that Bernie Sanders said and did during his run for president, which have had a lasting cultural impact, like I've said.
Listen up, everybody. This is how Bernie can win in 2028.
I wish he was young enough to run again, but, you know, okay. He's not the only leader that could possibly exist.
I mean, even when he's like, when it's his time, you know, whatever you want, however you want to say it, but his spirit will live on. I think that the values and the message, even if you disagree with him politically from the left, you know that, you know, common sense will tell you that, yeah, what the, like what you're saying, Kennedy, it's like the stuff that he, you know, taught us in 2016 will live on and will be inspiring and influential and hopefully in a good way, in a positive way, towards fellow like leftist and leaders in the progressive movement.
And not just towards leftists. One of the incredible things about Bernie Sanders' legacy, really, in fact, probably the most impactful thing about everything he's done in a lot of ways, is just that he's brought a lot of progressive, left-wing, whatever you want to call them, messages to people that may not have ever heard them otherwise.
Yeah, true.
He's been really effective at not playing to any particular political crowd as much as playing to the working class a lot, playing to issues that affect most Americans. And the reality is that, you know, depending on how you look at it, most of us are in the working class. You know, if we're looking at it from more of a proper left-wing perspective, and even a lot of quote-unquote famous and rich people are working class people in the sense that they can't stop working. Like, they might have nicer things than us, but they can't just stop working.
Elon Musk doesn't work.
He hasn't worked it. I mean, he hasn't really earned
down the chainsaw, Elon. Desired.
Yeah. He's had everything handed to him on a silver platter.
But also, he literally doesn't work. I mean, he wanders around finding dumb bullshit to get into.
Here's the thing.
He is going to bring us to the deep parts of space so we can achieve true human consciousness. And the only way we can get this beautiful... I can't even imitate his bullshit way of talking. I give up.
I mean, Mike Myers did a really decent impression of him
Imagine is just okay, but he does it with such incredible hate for the guy that it's a very watchable impression. is how I would describe it. Like, it's not the best impression ever, not just of Elon Musk, but just in general. It's just not the best impression ever, but...
What is, though?
You can tell while Mike Myers is doing... I mean, I would just say, by comparison, like, Alec Baldwin's Trump is more accurate.
And he'd still be doing Alec. He would still be doing Trump on SNL hadn't it not been for the Rust, the trial. Was it the court trial?
I still say Trump's biggest missed opportunity was not doing an impression of Alec Baldwin after Alec Baldwin murdered that woman. And yes, he did murder a woman. I don't care what people say.
I mean, the Baldwins are very controversial people.
And the courts are always right, Kennedy. They never make a bad decision.
I mean, the Baldwins are actually really controversial people anyway, so this isn't really anything new. I mean,
I've just been handed a history book. I've been told that the courts are very often wrong.
But yeah, you know, Alec Baldwin, he had the gun in his hand, so I don't know, you figure it out.
He had the gun in his hand, and he was ready to unknowingly pull the trigger.
So
that was so controversial to say.
We're going to need a whole... Let's put that with the Nintendo Switch 2 episode. Maybe Alec Baldwin should have switched to a different gun.
Maybe Alec Baldwin should have switched to a different onset armorer. Alec Baldwin's Trump, very spot on in terms of, like, Alec Baldwin approached that as a very serious acting proposition to really imitate Trump. Mike Myers isn't really approaching it the same way with Elon Musk. He just fucking hates Elon Musk, and you can just tell while he's doing that impression. And that's really funny in its own way. It's a different kind of funny, but it's great. But I want to stay focused on, okay, so Bernie Sanders, again, one of the really important things about Bernie Sanders is that he brings his messages to spaces you wouldn't always expect. Of course, he is famously an independent. He caucuses with the Democrats. He's basically a Democrat in a lot of ways. But he keeps that independent label, which a lot of politicians can't successfully do. And he does it by, splitting that divide well of, you know, working with the Democrats enough to keep their support, but also making it clear that, you know, his loyalty is not to a party. It is to working class people more than any particular political machine or system. That's not to say that he doesn't have any loyalty to these machines and that he does everything right.
Oh, I was just going to say, hey, Kennedy, Bernie Sanders' first election into Congress, it was clearly in a deep blue district, right?
Not at all.
Oh, are you telling me that Bernie Sanders appealed to the working class Republicans and he has ideas that they liked?
Yeah, funny enough. And in fact, there's concerns about when Bernie retires or, you know, when the inevitable sad thing happens. It's not a Republican might win his seat after that. It's totally actually a toss up seat, except for that Bernie wins it. Like, there's a lot of people that talk about Joe Manchin like he's the only guy that could win in West Virginia, which is total bullshit. And it's Bernie Sanders is not the only guy that could win his seat either, but he is a little special. And if we're going to recreate what he's done, it's going to take effort. It's not just something you can't just slot a typical liberal candidate who's just going to say some bullshit about how, you know, suck it up and get ready for austerity because actually this chart says everything's fine. That's not going to work in Bernie Sanders' district when he's gone.
No.
Did you say chart?
Yeah, I said chart.
Chart bad.
Go ahead, make some charts for us.
No, chart bad.
There can be a lot of value to winning over people in non-traditional spaces. There can also be some risks to trying to insert progressive message into conservative spaces. Tulsi Gabbard got famous off the back of being a big Bernie supporter. That didn't work out so good.
Like, totally, yeah. I mean, she was also just pulling the wool over everyone's eyes. I mean, if you really look into her background, like her father is a famous like a conservative in Hawaii. So the fact that no one really ever paid attention to that seriously would have been a random red flag. And it's like, man, what was that? I was going to say that would.
I'll tell you. Go ahead. Well, I'll tell you, I organize in Atlanta and I talk to people. And when I onboard them, I ask about what's your family's politics? And if I were to red flag all the people who say, well, my parents are all demonic Republicans, they're homophobic, they're racist, they're sexist, and then you just give the whole list, you'd have a small list by 2016. Tulsi Gabbard had her own ideological problems, but however, I remember that time period, and the vibe was anybody that would say no to Hillary Clinton in public was on the team.
Yeah, anyone that would say Medicare for all one time. Say it one time.
But now look at her. I mean, literally, she created her own monster.
So, you know, there can be a value to bringing progressive messages into conservative spaces, but there can also be a risk to it. So on the subject of things that brought unexpected messages into conservative spaces with good and bad results, we're also talking today about, of course, the American Christian CGI animated series and franchise for children, VeggieTales.
VeggieTales.
I thought this was entirely a How I Left the Left episode.
So. Beautiful. 10 out of 10. We've been surprising you all day today.
is VeggieTales, do you think, has radicalized or de-radicalized or both or neither?
I'm going to guess both, but I think Andrew's the most qualified to speak on this.
For a lot of people, VeggieTales, they liked VeggieTales. I've even met non-Christians that grew up on it. They liked it because it was less preachy than a lot of cartoons back then. The Bible cartoon was less preachy than a lot of them. Because, you know, back then, everything had a moral. Every story had a moral. And VeggieTales, they have their morals, but it feels more like it's about the story and not that moral we're leading to.
It's kind of like with Fred Rogers. It's like he was a Christian conservative, but didn't really come out.
Yeah.
He never really said, this is what I believe in, because he didn't want to alienate his audience.
Phil Fisher still talks. I can't say I agree with him fully, but the Babylon Bee goes after him all the time because he actually does speak more progressive-ish stuff.
And as someone who's only I'm not highly familiar, I know what VeggieTales is because I did see a few episodes when I was when I was younger, but I didn't know it was, from a religious Christian point of view. I just thought it was just what you'd see on Nickelodeon.
Exactly.
If you only catch a random episode or two, you may not realize it's religious. But if you
not at all. I started going to until I started going to some Sunday school. I mean, I'll just disclose I'm an atheist in real life, but when I was growing up, going to several different religious groups and on Sundays, when they're seeing VeggieTales, when they're showing clips in the Sunday school class of the show, you're just so it is a religious show. But then again, I wouldn't understand it. I wouldn't understand it that it was.
You would say VeggieTales is basically a little like the Chronicles of Narnia, but in reverse.
Oh.
That's interesting.
Do you mean the Chronicles of Narnia, the one with the talking lion? Yeah, I've only probably seen the first two films.
Don't they only have the first two films?
I thought there were three. I'm not sure.
There's different companies have done their own versions. Netflix is doing one. Greta Gerwig cashed in her chip from Barbie to do Narnia, which I think is kind of a lateral move, but whatever.
Lateral move at best. That's generous, honestly.
So, VeggieTales. It was an innovative CGI project at the time. That's the reason why they're vegetables. Vegetables are easy to make when the technology was bad.
Because vegetables were good for you, so they figured, why not just make the characters bad?
Well, funny story about that. Originally, they were going to make the main characters candy because, delicious candy. And Phil's wife had to explain to him how many angry letters he would get from parents by encouraging them to eat candy. So then he was like, oh, and changed it to vegetables.
And one of them, all the type of vegetables they make for the main characters. I don't know the characters' names. Forgive me.
Bob the tomato, Larry the cucumber.
I was going to say, is it cucumber? Because I thought it was a zucchini. Yeah. It looked like zucchini.
There is
to me.
A zucchini too, Mr. Nozer.
Yes.
I was going to say, but anyway, it's like such odd ways to make those two with the choice of vegetables, especially with the cucumber.
The point was that it was to choose, and you'll notice this about all the VeggieTales characters. It's always choosing stuff where it's intentional that it's just there's going to be no suggestion of arms or legs.
Yeah.
It's just a blob.
It's blob bouncing around how to move. And it's like you would think that maybe whoever I forget the creator's name. I'm sorry, but it's in later seasons of it. Who was it?
Bill Fisher is basically the.
And are all the creators on this show, were they all screened for their religion? Were they
So From my understanding, they weren't, and there was a faction inside of VeggieTales that believed they should have been. So that was its own internal business drama.
It's kind of like with Disney, you know, everybody, yeah. Like everybody at Disney is like fundamentally religious Christian, yet they're putting like messages of innuendo secretly just for the fun of it. I mean, have you not noticed that?
Have you not noticed
the fact, like, you look at like the Disney Renaissance, like two movies, Aladdin and The Lion King, when like once they came out on video, there was like this complaint of just innuendo and messages being in the films, and it pissed off a lot of the parents that were for the kids, and it's just like
it's completely unlike the old Disney movies. Definitely don't look up how many titties and dicks are in Aladdin.
Yeah. Or subliminal messages.
Titty.
I don't know.
But yes,
they're there. It's just like that's what happened with the Rescuers. Was like in 98 or 99, they had to have like 1,000, even maybe even more VHS copies recalled because there was literally in the shot of one of the films, there was a naked topless woman, and they had, and somebody at Disney saw that and they were like, oh, we got to recall this because this is fucking dirty. And it's like, you know, it's not like we would have seen that, and I'm of that age where I would have had that on VHS. I wouldn't have noticed it.
Right.
You know what I just realized? VeggieTales is woke because they feature the pirates, aka socialists, who don't do anything.
The socialist pirates. I think it's time. We've been here for a little while already. Let's step into the voting booth here and cast some ballots, starting with Archibald Asparagus. All right. Are you familiar with Archibald Asparagus, John?
Not particularly, no. Like I said, I only have like very varied memories.
He's the British one. He's the British one.
Andrew, explain Archibald Asparagus.
No, he's one of those no-nonsense, sort of snooty British character who oftentimes in the stories plays some sort of authority figure. In the silly songs with Larry, he's the one kind of in charge. And you know that wacky Larry the Cucumber with that stiff, uptight Archibald. He's so mad. But yes, he's one of the more, I would say, oftentimes plays an authority figure role.
Do you think the UK is ready to elect a stock of asparagus as its prime minister?
Are you asking me?
I think post Brexit they'll take anyone. But what do you think, John?
Let's set some parameters here. This has to specifically be during the Bernie years because I want to imagine. I was originally just going to make it a parameter of the show today. We were going to imagine that while Bernie is running for president, that Archibald Asparagus is the Prime Minister of England. But then I thought, let's make it a discussion. Is England ready to elect Archibald Asparagus as Prime Minister in 2015, given that the election of Prime Minister is a totally undemocratic process done internally in the House?
In the House of Commons.
Right.
If we're setting this in 2015, in the middle of Brexit. Middle of Brexit, yeah. So this would be around the time Jeremy Corbyn was running for the Labour Prime Minister. So Archibald Asparagus is definitely
the conservative in this scenario.
Okay, so I was thinking whoever was the socialist of opposite of Archibald Asparagus, I think that people in the UK who are like the outsider community, I don't know how they would say it in the UK as they would in the US, would most likely like 99.999% vote for Archibald Asparagus. Now the lower middle class, like the socialist type, would not vote for Archibald Asparagus in a 95.5% chance. if that makes sense. Like the Corbynites in the UK and the lower, like, middle working class would not vote for Archibald.
Right, Sanders. But the Corbynites couldn't get Corbyn elected, so
isn't that isn't
sounding
that
like it's Archibald's got a chance here?
Or the, like, the Corbynites
do, do we think, first of all, how does Archibald relate to David Cameron? Is Cameron just going to let the asparagus go ahead of him in the line?
Seeing as the asparagus is basically British, I would say that probably, yeah, the Archibald asparagus would be a Cameronite. Is that how you would say it for the conservative? Would be a Cameron, a David Cameron, like,
yeah, I think he's going to tell David Cameron to get out of the way. It's Archibald time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he wouldn't be Keir Starmer. Like, not to fast forward to now, but it's like he wouldn't necessarily be Keir Starmer. Or he would be, considering Starmer is, like, very, very, I would say, fundamentally conservative for a Labour Party. For the Labour Party in the UK. Yeah, so, like, yeah, Archibald Asparagus would be the conservatives would vote for him. Like, if 99.999%, if there was, like, a working class conservative in or middle class working class conservative in the UK, in Britain, they would probably, who feel like they've been, like, undervalued, they'd probably vote for Archibald Asparagus. I wouldn't, but yeah.
Brandon, Andrew, you got anything to add to that?
No, but I think he would win.
Does Archibald have pull in the countryside of England? You know, I'm really thinking about his ascent through, because I bet that he can beat Corbyn. I do think that England, especially given all the money that was spent against Corbyn, I do really think that they would choose right. a vegetable over him.
And how...
But it's just
a good analogy.
It's just a matter of does he have a broad appeal across the conservative English world? If he goes out to the farmlands, I don't know what the Iowa of England is, and the English fans feel free to write to us and tell us.
You don't really have an Iowa in the England election, though, because it's just like all you really have to do is convince 85 rich guys.
That's true.
That you're the right candidate. You're for them. And it's kind of like with Trump, you know, in the United States. It's like he could just go out to any farmland and sway them in any way he knows how, and they'll just buy it.
But I do want to say, I think Archibald Asparagus can, I think he could talk to a farmer because he's a stalk of asparagus. Hey, God, I grew up on a farm.
I grew up on a farm. I was planted in this field that you work now, and if you elect me as a prime minister, I will fight for you in return, that kind of thing. And then they will, and yeah, they will
people
vote
of Canada.
For
Canada. Yeah, then you got and it right.
The people of Canada, or of UK, Canada, Canada, UK, will vote. For him, for Archibald, I don't know Archibald's pronouns. I mean, he's an
asparagus.
I can't believe
he's an onion.
See, I don't even know my vegetables correctly.
He's not an onion. Anyways,
or he could be an onion, maybe.
Let's bring it back over to the United States, where we usually keep them political questions. So I want to start the U.S. portion here with, could any of the pirates who don't do anything get elected to anywhere in the United States?
The pirates who don't do anything, they have an entire song where they sing about how all the things that they don't do.
That could just be like their campaign theme song. We don't do anything. We're not going to do anything, but we still have charisma. We still have name value. And that's what we're and we can sway you into voting for us. You know, it's like a do nothing Congress. It's a nothing will fundamentally change.
I don't.
It's not a broad socialist transformation of society. It's just whack.
I don't think that they'll win office anywhere. But however, I think they'll make out great in the American political system. They can have roles as consultants. They can start a think tank. They can be on the news. They can write books. They can be on a podcast with Ezra Klein.
Yeah, and they could be on Pod Save America.
You can't cancel me. I don't do anything.
I do agree with a lot of these takes, but I do think also that a pirate who doesn't do anything could be a senator of Arizona.
Correct.
They could run as an independent in some super Republican district that's flipping and win. You know, like in a special election. Some crazed Republican loses in a special election to independent pirate who doesn't do anything, you know, from Maine or Nebraska or just one of our weirder states. I could see it.
But they can't be elected in Massachusetts because the song specifies that they've never been to Boston in the fall. And they straight up said that, like, come on.
Yeah, if you say that in a song, you can't get elected in Massachusetts. That's fair. I think Arizona might elect them. I think maybe Utah might elect a pirate who doesn't do anything.
Missouri, where I live, will probably elect a pirate that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, Arkansas. Arkansas could definitely... you could be governor of Arkansas as a pirate who doesn't do anything. We've got proof of that. Okay. Continuing on here with our votes, let's remind ourselves a moment of the 2016 Republican field. That's right, a rather unsavory bunch. I mean, so much so that Donald Trump was able to win because he was up against guys like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and John Kasich that just nobody fucking likes at all. We also had weirdos in there like Ben Carson, Jeb Bush, Rand Paul, Mike Huckabee. There was just a whole slew of weird freaks. Chris Christie and Rick Santorum managed to sneak in there for a little while too. Just a group of slime balls.
Yeah, slime balls.
And
neophytes,
squishy fucks. And with that in mind, could Mr. Nezzer, the greedy zucchini, how would he fare in the 2016 Republican field?
I think he'd be a cross between all of them, like one by one. I mean, he would probably be a cross between, if I was putting my money on it, he'd be a cross between Trump, Cruz, Rubio, Huckabee, Kasich, Christie, Santorum, and fuck, who else?
I mean, that's enough of them.
Yeah, he'd be if you took all those candidates that you mentioned one by one, and just made that into the VeggieTales character, it would be those people.
Based on that, it sounds like you're saying he would dominate 2016 Republican contest, but I want to hear from our other panelists briefly before we call that one. Andrew, you sounded like you might have a little comment there on Mr. Nezzer's. But also as the resident VeggieTales expert, just anything you want to clue us in about Mr. Nezzer is welcome.
No, that was a spot on description of Mr. Nezzer. Like, where's Archibald Asparagus has authority, but his whole thing is being annoyed by people, and he sometimes is responsible. Mr. Nezzer is just tends to play the role of the big, powerful boss. You got to do what the boss says. One of the original VeggieTales one was he was making his workers worship a chocolate bunny, and some of them didn't, and they were thrown in the den of lions, like the Bible story, and so on. Was it? No, not the den of lions. I mixed that up with David. Into the furnace.
Oh, hey, thanks, Mr. Nezzer. So Mr. Nezzer is a guy who fiercely punishes his opponents.
But there is one catch. So the song for that episode was the bunny, oh, I ate the bunny. And it was worshiping eating candy. Parents did not like that song. So eventually Mr. Nezer released an apology video, an actual apology, taking that back and replacing it with a song where you don't eat chocolate. So my thing is he could come across as a little weak.
I don't know. He could pick up the crunchy granola vote like the RFK voters.
Okay, fine.
Brandon, what do you think? Is Mr. Nezer the zucchini? Is he faring well against the 2016 Republican field?
I really think that you earlier speculated that he would just wipe the field. You've got to remember that in 2016... they weren't happy with any of those guys. So I think that the zucchini would just get a chance to shine. And I think that given that, you know, once zucchini fever hits, it might not subside so quickly.
Okay, so we're imagining this. There's a good chance that Mr. Nezer is going to take the 2016 Republican nomination. Now, on the other side of the aisle, what if in 2016 you have... As a new outsider Democrat added to the already crowded field, Larry the Cucumber.
I'll let the resident VeggieTales expert.
How did you know about Nezer but not Larry? Larry the Cucumber is one of the two main characters. He's the silly, goofy, happy, cheerful one. He's the one oftentimes paired with Archibald to annoy him. Larry has Cindy songs with Larry, and Archibald is the one in charge of it. And sometimes you have... sometimes Archibald tries to cancel the show or tries to change it. One time, instead of silly songs with Larry, we had love songs with Mr. Lunt. The part of the show where Mr. Lunt comes out and sings a love song. And he sang a song about loving a cheeseburger. Being so bad you want to eat it. Like, and staying up all night. So, Larry's that would the make... silly one.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, that was the end of that thought.
I was to say Larry would probably be a cross between, in that sense, probably between Clinton and Martin O'Malley. And then you'd have, you need to have your Bernie-esque. I think one of the pirates would be a socialist. So you, whoever that would be the Bernie Sanders of 2015, 2016.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
We all agree that Hillary Clinton would threaten to eat this cucumber as a joke, right? You start eating cucumber sandwiches.
Yeah, and this is part of what tanks her campaign.
Yeah.
She'd start shaking the bottle of hot sauce at the cucumber.
Okay, yeah, she'd make the video where she's just chilling in Cedar Rapids, but she's eating a cucumber sandwich. And that
she's chilling at a Chipotle. Just remember, in real life, you know, there was that picture of Hillary Clinton going to a Chipotle line.
Okay, like, I'm going to toss a curveball when you're done with that thought.
That just came to mind. Like, we're talking about Hillary Clinton, and it's just like all the weird things that happened.
You better Pokemon go to the polls. All right, I'm going to throw a little curve. Let me briefly describe one of the silly songs with Larry. So he's waiting for Santa. He has three cookies and he sings a song. I get to give them to Santa. And then a bank robber comes in. And Larry's like, you know what? I'll be your friend. Would you like my cookie? And the bank robber stops. Then a Viking comes in, sings a song about a Viking that's going to steal all his stuff. Larry gives one of his three cookies to him. And then he keeps the last one. Then... the next person to open up is an IRS agent. And he says, I'm on the IRS, and I've come to you. Then Larry slams the door on him.
Wow.
So does that factor in? Does that change anything? Slam the door to IRS agent.
Larry's getting my vote, is what I'm hearing.
Definitely going to get the vote if he's like slamming the the door in the IRS's face, but yet the IRS has boots on and can.
Yeah, Bernie's going to look weak in comparison to this guy. Bernie would be up there going, oh, the top 1% of the top 1%. And Larry the Cucumber will be like, I executed a billionaire today. And then he'll sing a funny song about it.
Yeah. Oh, the guillotine, the guillotine. Let's all go through the guillotine.
Okay, but here's the deciding factor, though, that is going to determine, it's going to be the big determining factor in who wins the presidential race between Mr. Nezzer and Larry the Cucumber in 2016, who have both swept their primaries, is who does Bob the Tomato side with? Now, of course, in an episode of a show like VeggieTales, the moral conundrum of the characters being split like this, this is where the crux of the drama lies. And so, of course, Bob the Tomato's incredibly important support is going to change everything.
I'm sorry, Larry.
It's disillusioned and goes with Mr. Nezzer. It's over for Larry. Larry loses his confidence. But if Larry's got Bob by his side, if he can sway Bob's more serious attitude into joining him, then he's probably unstoppable. So,
Bob the Tomato's the host of the show, by the way. It's kind of like Kermit the Frog. Bob's the host. Just a little context.
Yeah. So he's got real power here. Yeah, any other context you want to give about Bob?
He is Larry's friend. They're the two main hosts of VeggieTales. He's the more serious one. Of course, you get more jokes of Larry annoying him, or Larry trying to be more silly, doing something kind of out there, and Bob having to put up with it. So they're friends, but also Bob knows what he's getting into with a wacky, unpredictable candidate. Whereas Nezzer, like I said before, he plays more of a boss, I'm the boss type role, and it probably would be easier to work with him.
Of choice. Let's also keep in mind that Mr. Nezzer's VP is Donald Trump, and Larry the Cucumber's VP is Bernie Sanders.
Jesus fucking Christ. Well, in that case, there'd be no question, you'd go to Larry.
Which of them would be better at actually being the president?
So, better putting aside my political standings, just pure objectively do the job, probably Nezzer. But in terms of actually getting good stuff done, Larry could make some wacky recommendations. After all, his show's about teaching lessons like giving and caring and welcoming your neighbors as friends instead of being hostile towards them. So I think Larry could do more good, but in raw terms of being a president, Nezzer would do the presidential stuff better.
I want to believe.
It's hard for me to imagine that Cucumber winning a general election. You know, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Arizona. These states have got just a lot of people. A damn Cucumber.
Especially he's running against the much more serious Zucchini.
That is true.
I think that, unfortunately, although my heart wants to say Larry could get elected, I think the arc of the VeggieTale episode about the 2016 election would be that Bob the Tomato, after much heart-wrenching decision-making, reluctantly sides with Mr. Nezzer, realizes only too late it was the wrong decision. Mr. Nezzer is elected, but on the upside, Mr. Nezzer is immediately impeached, and Larry the Cucumber and Bob the Tomato just kind of laugh it off.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
This is very funny, except that Trump becomes president. But, you know, there kind of is a regular timeline. So, you know, they go through an episode, all this stuff happens. Laughs were had, and then humanity goes on.
And then Trump becomes president.
Which kind of is Which is kind of what happens in VeggieTales in real life. So,
all right, couple more questions here, but these are going to get a little bit stranger. John, I really think you might have a good answer for this first one, though.
Hit me.
What would Bernie Sanders' silly song be?
Well, silly song or serious?
Silly song. If he had a silly song that he sang all the time, everywhere he went, what would his silly song be?
It's a good question.
Would it be the 1%, the 1%, you gotta stop the 1%?
See, I'm only thinking in well-known songs. I'm not thinking in anything VeggieTales.
I'm not thinking.
Oh, no, he makes up his, like, yeah, we're making up songs.
Yeah, we're making shit up.
He'd probably have, what's that song by Rage Against the Machine? Oh, Sleep Now in the Fire would be his.
That's not silly enough. I need a sillier song.
Well,
I want you to make up a brand new song for Bernie Sanders.
I'm not even good at making songs.
You said you were a musician earlier. Come on, give me something.
Yeah,
John.
I do.
I'm
only a part-time musician.
That's more than 75.
I can't think now. I can't think.
Okay. I'll make it a little easier on you. Not a silly song, but sometimes Archibald's canceled silly songs with Larry, like I said before, and he tries to get somebody more serious. Doesn't always work. So you can do a little serious. Like, this is the replacement
for a silly song. Yes, I'll accept this. I think, though, that he should have a song like, I am once again asking you for $25.
That's probably it, what Kennedy's do. That's probably his silly song right there.
I was so wondering whether we thought Larry was going to get those $24 donations.
Bernie Sanders is Larry. Was it Larry the Cucumber? And that's his silly song right there. I am once again asking you for $25. That's it right there. Or,
$20 won't do. It's gotta be at least 25. Background singers, 25.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is cooking.
And it's just like, oh, we need another verse. Yeah. I would. Or it's fuck. See, now I'm fucking having memory impairments. It's like
you put all our guests on the spot, and we knew it'd be hard to put you on the spot because usually we put our guests on the spot with political trivia they've never heard about. But
I'm only vividly remember.
I didn't know it'd be the silly song.
It's like it's the one song I only. It's about a show I barely vividly remember. If it had like another verse, it's like. The oligarchy is a little, you know, something bad. Like, what a verse about the oligarchy, how bad the oligarchy is.
Okay. Like that.
How bad the corporate billionaires, because he's always talking about how bad the billionaires are, which he's not wrong.
Yeah.
Fuck the Wall Street, you know, bad about Wall Street and the Koch brothers going after his opponent in the election for being tied to Wall Street. I mean, that's Hillary Clinton for you.
Oh yeah, a song about my opponent's got Wall Street ties.
There you go. Or the media will not have me on to talk. Or it's like the media will not have me on to talk about my candidate. Like, you know how he has like he'd be talking shit about
Hillary Clinton. She has media ties. Media has never stopped lies.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing.
If you're just tuning in here,
middle class cries.
Yeah, if you're just tuning into this thing along, this is your first time being on this show. We apologize formally.
I'm not apologizing.
You can cancel me.
I think Bernie Sanders getting up on a stage and singing a song that starts my media appearances are being unfairly suppressed by my opponent. This is going to be, there's going to be like a Hamilton-esque musical about Bernie Sanders 50 years from now.
Yeah, it will Bernie be the musical.
By this episode of this podcast. They'll listen to this show and they'll go, I'm going to write a musical about Bernie Sanders.
No, you listen.
Weirdly enough, the musical will be written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, which no one saw coming.
Well, robot Lin-Manuel Miranda, but it's basically the same.
You'll have to like rest in peace to him, but they'll have to like dig up David Lynch and have him like write Bernie the musical, but do it kind of like artsy fartsy kind of thing, like really dark and really Twin Peaks esque kind of thing.
Yeah, David Lynch's skeleton will direct.
Lynch's
robot Lin-Manuel Miranda is writing it. It's gonna be a big hit in 2081. So prepare yourselves.
Half the population won't even be around by then.
Yeah, you have to. Tickets cost a gallon of fresh water, which is insanely expensive by then. Let's moving on to lighter topics. Let's go through Bernie and some of the people that we associate most with him and come up with veggie sonas for them. That's right. What if Bernie Sanders was a fruit or a vegetable appearing in Veggie Tales? What would he be?
Oh, he'd be the cucumber. What was it?
He could be any fruit or vegetable you want. It doesn't have to be an existing character.
He'd be an apple. Bernie would be an apple.
Bernie be an apple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or anything. Yeah.
Not bad.
And people around him. Well, here's the thing. We're going to have to like dissect at least the 2016 and 2020.
I've got some specific names here for you. All right. But let's hear. I want to hear from the rest of the panel. Do we like Bernie as an apple? I kind of like that.
That was like just like the first fruit I came to mind. So,
yeah, Bernie as an apple is fine.
Brandon,
yeah, that's fine.
What about Rashida Tlaib?
She's an orange.
An orange. I kind of think she might be a squash.
Squash. Yeah, I changed my mind. She's a squash. Andrew, Brandon,
squash.
Can I just tell y'all, I have not spent a lot of time thinking about this question. I would think maybe a plum.
Ooh, plum's a good choice.
Maybe something more tart than a squash.
I was just thinking like the versatility and the summeriness of a summer squash, but a plum is really good for Rashida Tlaib. I kind of like that. I could see Rashida Tlaib being a little plum bouncing along.
If Rashida Tlaib was a plum, then AOC is a grape.
Okay.
I just had to go there, didn't I?
Yeah, no. She's definitely. I don't think there's any arguing that.
The squad sponsored by Fruit of the Loom.
Is Ilhan Omar also going to be a fruit? Is she going to continue the trend? Is she going to buck the trend in some way? Because I can kind of see Ilhan Omar being like maybe a cabbage or something, like a purple cabbage.
Ilhan Omar would be a cabbage. I already have my fruit in mind for Ayanna Presley. Ayanna Presley is a banana.
Yeah, I was thinking we were going to go like coconut, like, right away. But banana.
She's a coconut. Yes. She can be like a banana flavored coconut or a coconut flavored. Well, yeah.
No, banana I like flavored banana. I potentially like banana.
I think let's go mango.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Didn't even think of that. Yeah, that's actually better.
Yellow mango or orange mango?
So if we're talking about the squad, does this also mean former members? So does Jamal Bowman and Corey Bush count?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to save Corey Bush for last because she's Missouri. But Jamal Bowman, if like hypothetically, let's just pretend he's still in the squad. he would be okay. So we made Ariana Presley a coconut. Or a mango. Since we made mango, let's give the coconut to Jamal Bowman. And then Corey Bush. Oh, Jesus. It's hard. We did fruit. Let's make Cory. I'll make Cory Bush a tomato because you really because I don't know the story is like you don't
Are
really
we allowed
know
to
whether
have a second tomato. I mean, we could maybe have it. Yeah,
we have two tomatoes.
They might briefly allow a second tomato to appear.
Yeah, I mean, because you can't really know because like the
I mean, these are all
you don't know if
they're gonna appear in every episode. These are just gonna be
right. But also the legend is you don't know if tomatoes are actually a vegetable or a fruit. So I think it's a pass.
Okay. Now we've got two really challenging ones here to round us out. First, Elizabeth Warren. And if you say an ear of corn, you are racist.
Elizabeth Warren.
Damn it.
This is tricky. I would say
I'm just gonna back out of this one.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna back out too. I mean, I have
no. You
in mind,
get back
but
out. Get back in here. Get back in here, you motherfuckers. I want to. Elizabeth Warren's got to be a. I think Elizabeth Warren would be a practical everyday vegetable.
I was gonna say green bean before I decided to drop
green
that
bean.
One for it.
Yes.
So if that's a vegetable that I would make Elizabeth Warren, that's what I would choose.
Oh, it's gonna be both fruits or vegetables.
Man, this is fun.
I'm gonna choose Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
Okay. Now we have to do media people in the
Wait,
Bernie
no,
campaign.
I've got one more. I've got one more person that we're gonna discuss okay. here,
and then we'll do media people because I got a whole bunch of fruits and vegetables I can call.
Actually, Brussels sprouts can't really wear glasses. You really want a something that you can really stick some glasses on. So, it's got to be green beans. Is probably you got to have a taller one. Maybe an asparagus. An asparagus would be fine.
Asparagus would be fine, but I think a green bean is sounding pretty good. What about actually? Wait, this is a bit of an odd choice, but I think it kind of fits. What about fennel?
I've never had fennel. But that's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah. Kind of a bulb with a green top. That could wear fennel could wear glasses. The important political questions of our time. Which would look more natural with glasses on?
Okay,
fennel or Brussels sprouts?
Probably fennel. Depending on what it looks like.
This is the most important election.
Is it like is this Brussels? Is it Brussels sprouts just in a pile, or is it like on the vine, or is it
a little bit of both? Maybe a little bit of both. Yeah. Brussels sprouts. If it's on the vine,
it's like a weird stock.
If it's on the weird stock, you could probably make Elizabeth Warren Brussels sprouts. But then, like, you'd have to have the next in line be the fennel, because Brussels sprouts, if it's on the stock, it can wear glasses.
There you have it. Brussels sprouts was on the stock.
Okay. Our final and most challenging one. Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh.
Fuck.
Tulsi Gabbard needs a veggie sona. She's got an episode in the Bernie Sanders veggie tales.
Gabbard is just a bunch of macaroni for me. I'm just kidding. Had you there for a minute. Tulsi Gabbard can be a carrot if in regards to it. We haven't said carrots, so like it could be like a big carrot with like the wavy hair. Unless okay. somebody comes up with something better.
Are there any vegetables with feet?
with shoes.
maybe Tulsi Gabbard is a seaweed of some kind.
Oh, yeah, like
yes,
a
yes, yeah. That would
that actually totally checks out. Brandon's
you know, seaweed can attach to this or that, you know.
And she just attaches herself to anyone who gives her like the best advice. So okay. Tulsi Gabbard is definitely seaweed.
Okay, we're just over an hour here, so I want to, out of respect for everyone's time, move towards wrapping up. But I've got one last question for everyone here that's going to potentially shake everyone to their core. But first, Andrew, I need you to explain, what is a quote-unquote Larry boy?
What? Hey, Larry, like to dress up like a superhero and go around town as vigilante-style justice. As some of my adventures have been Larry Boy in the Fib from Outer Space, in Larry Boy in the Rumory, as I go on onto the streets to take down these monsters with all my fancy gadgets.
So, Larry the Cucumber, as an alternate personality, a persona, Larry Boy, a vigilante justice character who, I mean, relatively low violence as far as vigilante justice goes, but some mayhem still involved in some of Larry Boy's acts. Where do you think Bernie Sanders and the squad stand on Larry Boy? Do they condone or condemn the actions of this rogue cucumber?
Did we kill him?
Maybe that long and profound silence is the answer.
I think the answer is there's just no answer. They don't know how.
Will you condemn or deny?
Yeah.
You know?
Larry Boy going out on his own. He caused some property damage.
Andrew, you're our VeggieTales expert. Are you neutral on this issue, or do you have a secret stance in your heart?
I'm thinking. I think Bernie Sanders would try to put the focus on the things that Larry Boy has to do because the government is unable to do it. And the media is making this a much bigger deal than it seems. You know what you could do to stop Larry Boy? You could talk about the issues and we could get issues done. Then we wouldn't need Larry Boy anymore. The government should be stopping the rumor weeds. The government should have stopped the bad apple. But we let our own people down. What do you think's going to happen? Let's focus on the issues.
That was compelling.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any better place for us to leave it than there. John, thank you for being a part of our wonderful, bewildering experience today and voting with us. We have all accomplished our civic duty and voted today. And all of you listeners, you have voted as well. John, if people want to find you, follow you, watch something that you're making, where do they do that?
Well, first of all, thank you all for having me. It's great to be here. I hope we could do a follow-up at some point of a different topic, but I would love to vote. So I am on both YouTube and Twitch. I host TGRS periodically. I do YouTube interviews. I am on Twitter, JonathanRoss92. I am on Blue Sky, JohnRoss1992 at bluesky.com or bluesky.app, or whatever they're calling it. I am going to be starting some projects very soon that I wish I could announce here, but they're kind of in the working. They're in the early pre-production stage, so I can't really say much.
Sounds like people better follow you so they can keep up with the good.
Well, they're in the pre-production stage, so I can't really say much.
Just don't invite a reporter to the Signal chat where you blab and blab all about
blab,
it. Just
blab,
don't
blab,
do that.
Yeah, no. And someone who rarely uses Signal. I mean, I know Signal, but I am. I'm sort of using it rarely. I would not do that. So YouTube and Twitch. I'm on Twitter, Blue Sky. I'm on Facebook, if anyone still uses that. What else? That's pretty much it.
Thanks for being here today.
Absolutely.
And listeners, we look forward to having you join us again to vote with us next time. And until then,
make sure that you make your voice heard in our reviews, Apple, Spotify, wherever there's a place to give us 5 stars. You know, just make it a habit of just doing that so that civic awareness everywhere.
You gotta vote.
Hold your nose and vote.
So vote for us on your favorite streaming podcast streaming service today. And we'll vote for you by putting out more episodes. And until next time, bye.
Bye, three ever.
Goodbye.